The Money Show.
The Markets.
Markets today were a little softer, 100 points down on the day, not too serious, after a pretty solid week. At one point this morning, we looked like we were going to have a good above 58,000 close for the first time since can't remember when. But yes, the JSE pulling back by the end. Financials were negative. Gold shares were down as the gold price has fallen far and hard and quickly. Industrials negative as well. Perhaps Tato Mashiho, the portfolio manager at Sundown Private Wealth, a quick discussion around gold. Gold, the insurance policy in crazy times, when there's a perception of more stability, and I'm only calling it a perception because we don't have any sort of indication of real stability. But we've got some vaccine coming. We've got a new incumbent, a new president in the United States, incoming president, president-elect in Joe Biden. The gold price has been in full bore retreat for, what, 2 weeks now?
Good evening, Bruce. And as you mentioned, gold being an insurance policy, and it seems some people feel comfortable enough to lapse on that insurance policy at the moment, given the positive news we've had from a few vaccine candidates, Pfizer and Moderna in particular. Obviously, the AstraZeneca case having a few queries around some of the data which they have released. But be that as it may, gold price is off below $1,800 at the moment. Obviously, earlier this year, it touched the all-time highs. And people are thinking, well, 2021 may not be so bad. We'll have enough to cover the regions that are most affected, which means there'll be no more need for lockdowns and things will go back to normal. So that's the positive story, and people seem to be buying that. And obviously, risk-on sentiment is high, which benefits South Africa as a whole.
We live in hope that the trend continues. What I find most interesting is how is it a correlation? Is it a coincidence? Is it a parallel between the cryptocurrencies, the alleged currencies, and the gold price? Because crypto, over the same period as gold has been pulling back, cryptocurrencies have been slipping back as well.
Well, cryptos have been called the millennial gold, and we'll have to wait to see if that's true or not, and we'll stand the test of time. But I mean, if you do recall, a few years ago, the likes of Bitcoin and Ethereum hit all-time highs, and despite their massive performance weeks and this year as a whole, it's still still slightly off those highs of 2017, I believe. If you're looking for stability, I'm not sure that cryptocurrencies are going to provide you with that stability, but they do provide you with a sort of alternative to your traditional asset classes. And as long as people believe it's gold, then it is gold, whether it is or not.
But it's like giving a two-year-old sugar for breakfast and then not expecting there to be a great deal of excitement. I mean, that's my view on cryptocurrencies. They're a sugar rush. They're just as mad sugar-fueled. And then suddenly the two- or three-year-old suddenly crashes and runs out of energy. And then it's all fall down, meltdown, stamp your feet, and what the Afrikaans people call it, vloermoer, smashing the floor and having a tantrum. That's what I feel about cryptocurrencies. There are many much smarter people than I who will tell me I'm just ignorant and an idiot. But that's the correlation I see.
Yeah, well, there are some issues to be ironed out as far as cryptos go. There's a major issue around custody I suppose regulation, and whether or not major exchanges allow for crypto ETFs. That could be a game changer, of course. But the issues around safe custody and holding of the assets will probably prevent institutional holders from really allocating to them in any meaningful form. But obviously those can be overcome. And if they are overcome, then clearly the market has to take cryptos more serious going forward. But as they currently stand, you could be up 30% 1 hour and down 30% the next hour, which does speak to almost excessive levels of volatility, market depth can be questioned. But can you really have billions and billions of dollars pouring into cryptos based on the current infrastructure? That is a bit questionable.
Talk to me about today's trading updates. I mean, I look at a NAMPAC trading update and I wonder whether or not they're benefiting from the trend that Dan Buntman from Ozo was talking about a moment ago, about this huge surge in online shopping, because anything you buy online comes to you in a box. NAMPAC makes boxes. That should be good for business.
Well, we had a string of updates from some industrial companies today. I suppose you could call it the good, the bad, and the ugly. Bidvest being the good, Barloworld being the bad, and NAMPAC, unfortunately, being the ugly. And their full year 20 or so financial year 2020 update was quite ugly. Impairments of 4 billion rand in total, and just recall that NAMPAC's current market cap is 1 billion rand, so you're impairing four times your current market cap. And we all know issues that they've had in Zimbabwe, Angola, and Nigeria. And a lot of the goodwill impairments, more Nigerian Bevcan, you know, over 2 billion impaired, over 1 billion impaired in Angola. And adding to those impairments, also the issue of currency depreciation and obviously having to revalue those currency movements. So that obviously impacted earnings as well. And then the issue of hyperinflation in Zimbabwe. So they've unfortunately made some poor capital allocation decisions into those markets, and they are paying the price for it at the moment. Share price is down about 80% year to date, so that kind of says it all.
Yeah, and it tells a story. I mean, that's the ugly. The bad is Barloworld, and understandably, Barloworld would be bad based on the fact that they've had a really, really rough time in terms of their heavy duty machinery businesses in many parts of the world.
Yeah, indeed. And no real surprise that companies like Barloworld and Caterpillar have struggled during the lockdown. Obviously, supply chain disruption means that a lot of their projects were suspended. And the nature of the business means there's high fixed costs and your revenue line declines, and so you get negative jaws, and obviously earnings are going to be affected as a result of that. So, I mean, HEPS has fallen from, you know, around 11 rand in 2019 to a loss of around 2.5 rand for 2020. And part of that is write-downs, only 2 billion in the case of Barloworld, so not the 4 billion that we saw in NAMPAC, but obviously still bad.
Yeah, I mean, Bidvest seems to be going well. It's a business with a finger in almost every South African pie, and businesses beyond our borders as well. It keeps performing.
It has, and I suppose one of the concerns that investors had with the diversified industrials businesses this year is that they're obviously highly correlated to GDP growth, and you track manufacturing PMI, month on month, and it wasn't really a good picture, and so there was quite a bit of concern as to how these companies would perform. But at least Bidvest, the 4 months that they've given us in this trading update, they have stated that from a revenue and trading profit perspective, they're pretty much flat year on year, which is a very promising performance. And this does suggest that they've been taking market share from smaller players, because obviously the overall industry has been impacted. So if that's the case, then that is obviously quite positive. They also mentioned that they've completed their Richards Bay LPG, liquid petroleum gas terminal. So they spent 1 billion rand there. So that should be quite positive going forward as well.
I wonder how important mindset is in dealing with a recessionary environment. Now, I asked this question, and I don't know if you're aware of this fact, but for a long time, and may still be the case, there have been signs all over Bidvest facilities all over the country with a very simple message, and it says, Bidvest does not participate in the recession. And it goes to an attitude within a business of saying, fine, so the environment is recessionary. It doesn't mean that we have to roll over and accept that we are going to underperform and we're going to perform badly because the environment is terrible. We adapt to whatever environment there is. That's my reading of it. And I wonder if that mindset of sort of a growth mindset is what sets Bidvest apart at the moment.
Well, what you've said has reminded me of one of my favorite business books by Andrew Grove, who is one of the famous then CEO of Intel. And he wrote the book, Only the Paranoid Survive. When you have that mindset of always looking for, or always trying to protect the downside and always planning on what could be the worst case scenario and how do we mitigate that, then you're going to do better definitely in recessionary environments. And so I think BigVest is obviously showing signs of that, and you know, having those sort of signs and getting that message out to all the employees, you know, from your middle management to your entry level employees, to always find ways to kind of squeeze costs out of the system, or to maybe enhance revenue slightly here and there, and just protecting capital and getting everyone on board. It definitely makes a difference. And that small difference can be the difference between under and outperforming in this current environment.
I think it may be from the book, actually. There's an Andy Grover quote that says, crisis defines a great company. A great company will thrive in a crisis. A good company will survive a crisis. And a bad company will be killed off in a crisis. And I think that is being shown to be true.
Unfortunately so. We do have the good, the bad, and the ugly on display, and we hope that no one will have to be killed off, and hopefully they get a second chance, they can push the restart button and look at ways of improving their business. But great companies always thrive during these environments. We saw it in the GFC over a decade ago. We're seeing it again now. And hopefully a lot of management teams will be looking at ways to improve their businesses going forward.
Tato Mashiho. Thank you, Tato, the portfolio manager at Sanlam Private Wealth.